Coming up on Tech News Today, there's a new Xbox that you have to sign a two-year contract for, and we think it's more expensive than the current Xbox. We'll explain. Amazon's making sitcoms, and why won't Facebook take these advertisers' money? All that and more coming up.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
This is Tech News Today for Wednesday, May 2nd, 2012. Tech News Today is brought to you by GoToMeeting. Meet face-to-face from anywhere in the world with GoToMeeting with HD Faces. For your free 30-day trial, visit GoToMeeting.com, promo code TNT. Welcome to Tech News Today. I'm Tom Merritt.
I'm Sarah Lane.
I'm Maya Zakhtar.
I'm OMG Chad.
And this is the show where we kick around the tech news of the day, try to make some sense of it all. Joining us today, host of CNET's The 404 podcast, Mr. Jeff Bacalar.
Hello, everybody.
Hello,
Thank you,
Jeff.
For having me. What's going on, guys?
Hey, you know, things are going on. Tech is going on. Good to have you along. We got some gaming news for you. You like gaming news, Jeff?
Yes, it's the only thing I can speak to. No, I'm kidding.
Well, this is going to be a softball for you then. The Verge reports Microsoft, according to their sources, planning to launch a $99 Xbox console bundled with Kinect as long as you agree to a two-year contract for Xbox Live at $15 a month. So your total cost for the life of the purchase would be $459. But a $99 Xbox, it's the 4-gigabyte model, so it's not the best one you can buy, but it's a pretty screaming deal. Up front, Xbox Live service, possibly throwing in some additional streaming content from cable providers or maybe some sports package providers to sweeten the deal. That's not clear yet. And they'll be marketing it against things like the Apple TV, the Roku, even the PS3, obviously.
Right.
Only offered at Microsoft stores, and you'd have to pay an early termination fee if you canceled the subscription. Now, I did a little looking on Amazon. Currently, you can get the 4-gigabyte Xbox bundled with Kinect for $286.95 on Amazon. The retail is $299, but you can get it a little cheaper. And you can buy two 12-month Xbox Live Gold cards for $48.41. So a total there of $383.77. So if you can afford to pay the $299, you know, with a little discount up front, you actually are saving money by not doing this new plan.
So of course. So it's just a good deal for people who want to... It's almost like a layaway type thing.
Yeah. Is that it, Jeff? I mean, what's the appeal here?
I don't understand the appeal, really. And like you said, like Sarah said, it's like you're sort of financing your Xbox ownership. And if you plan on playing any games, they're not cheap either. They're like $60 a pop. So let's say you buy two games. Okay, that's another $120 on top of what you're already buying or laying out up front. To me, the math doesn't make sense. And now I'm going to pay an early termination fee if I stop during the 2 years. I'm sorry. I don't care how many features you're throwing in. This is not worth it. I mean, that $99 sweet spot sort of price, that's a nice headline, attention-grabbing number. But, in 2 years from now, there's going to be another Xbox in 2 years, most likely.
That's it. I'm sorry.
I just don't get it. I don't understand why this would be attractive to somebody who has this information.
Taking a look at the numbers, it just reminds me of like economics class, thinking time value of money. Over 2 years, you're spending this money monthly instead of doing it all up front. Maybe you could use that money for other things, like buying the games up front. That's another thing you'll do. Instead of paying $383 up front with no games yet, or if there's a bundle with it, maybe you'll get a game. You can pay only $100, and that could get the Xbox, even though it's so late in its life cycle, because it's going to get replaced, like Jeff was saying. But it's going to get it in places where it probably wouldn't be there in the first place. $100 is pretty cheap compared to, you know, a $199 or $299 console. And it's still it's Microsoft's another nice way to get a revenue stream going there. Because if the Xbox really is this one device you have for all your content consumption, you might be buying stuff on their video store, their music store. They keep getting you in because they got that box in your house. And that's important to them.
People in chat room. Yeah, go ahead, Jeff.
That's a good point. You're right. I think, and you also have to rethink who they're going after with this sale. They're not going after the, you know, average gamer. They're going after the super, super sort of casual person that kind of just wants hands off on the entire experience. Which is like, all right, 2 years, I don't have to worry about it. it's just going to sort of be this subscription plan that I'm mostly hands off on. Maybe you're right. Maybe that's much more attractive to somebody who's not, you know, really trying to be serious about their gaming experience.
That also sounds like great candidates for early termination fees when they lose interest.
Yeah, right? I mean, yeah. These are only going to be offered at Microsoft stores, according to The Verge. So my guess is they're trying to grab people with that $99 price tag.
Right.
And lock them in. And then it's like rent to own. People are in the chat room are saying that. Also, one person in the chat room pointed out you can get a used Xbox for $99 or cheaper. But these are not the kind of, that's not who Microsoft's going after, is the kind of person who would go to Craigslist or go to eBay and buy a used Xbox. They're going after the people who just happen to be wandering through and sort of on impulse go, oh, really? $99? That's great. And the thing they could do to make this make a little more sense is throw in a cable package or a sports package,
definitely,
especially a sports package. If they say, yeah, when you buy this Xbox 360, you get the NHL and MLB season passes.
And unlike the used ones, you get a 2-year warranty with this. You got it for 2 years on the contract.
That's true.
And you're guaranteed if it busts and the Xbox, and this revision by now doesn't break as much as the first one did. But so yeah. I'm thinking this is it's an interesting idea.
All right. It's at the level right now. I mean, this thing's going on 7 years now.
Yeah.
They are really sort of just scraping up whatever I feel like they can get their hands on at the end of this cycle. I mean, I know I still think we're at least 2 years away from another Xbox at the very least. But, you know, for people who don't own one, and like you said, you have to go out of your way. You got to go to a Microsoft store. Where is that? I don't know where there's a store.
Look near Apple stores in malls. That's usually where they are.
It's underneath the Apple store.
Yeah. Spotify, speaking of Apple, coming to the iPad finally. You can enjoy the app for free during a 30-day trial, but it doesn't really, I mean, don't pay. You wouldn't want to pay for the app because you need to shell out $9.99 a month for a Spotify premium subscription to use it after the trial period. And you don't get any free streaming even when I downloaded it. I didn't get anything free.
But that's the way that Spotify works.
Yeah.
You can get free, somewhat limited access for streaming and the desktop experience, but nothing on mobile unless you are syncing offline music on the same Wi-Fi account as where your Spotify music on your computer is.
But, you know, it's nicely redesigned for the iPad. Retina display, graphics, now playing full screen with high definition cover art, gapless playback and crossfade. Gapless playback means, you know, there's no pause when it goes from one song to another. The crossfade allows you to decide how much of the end of a song you hear before it starts crossfading in the other. And you can see it's nice if you take a look
at it.
It's definitely very pretty. The What's New section offers up new releases, top tracks, trending playlists, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, you know,
have
they don't
to say,
do
not
that.
Terribly impressed by the layout, though.
I also
it's
don't
pretty
think
typical layout.
Some of the new releases, and I have to compare this to the RDO app just because I've been using the RDO app so much, but I like that one particularly because it'll tell me when something came out. A new album, did it come out this week? Did it come out 2 weeks ago? How new of a new release is this? And on Spotify, it's a lot more murky as to what's new and why is something popular. Who of my friends
up.
Are reading the song or, no, or are listening
I
to the song?
I don't know
songs.
Any of the what's new stuff that's recommended for me.
And you don't,
no
but
idea.
You don't, like, maybe if I was listening to an album, you might be like, hey, you know, Sarah and I have
right.
similar tastes sometimes.
If I didn't know it, but it said Sarah likes this, I'd be like, oh, okay.
Yeah, it
now
would be
I know
kind
why
of cool
there.
To listen
right.
to the same stuff. But it doesn't seem to have a lot of social information that would make it compelling. Then again, if you've got, like, the new, I don't know, Jambox wireless speaker, and you've got the Spotify app, and you're a paying customer, it's awesome.
The now playing screen is really pretty.
Yeah.
So you could, it looks like it's a home theater kind of play a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of wish they would really rethink doing the whole free to play on the iPad. I know that's their business model. Once you go mobile, you're going to have to start shelling out some money. We had Andrew Major on our program earlier this week, who works at Spotify. He's their hacker advocate. That's his real title. It's kind of crazy. He was saying that they're doing fine with the people who don't pay. They are making money. You know, they do okay. I feel like, you know, not everyone is into the whole paying for it thing. I understand the whole desire to have it mobily, and that's fine. I feel like the iPad's that weird sort of bridge device that it's not necessarily something I'm listening to music on all the time on the go. I just wish they would open it up, and I wish they would allow some of the apps that are working in the Spotify desktop version to go on the mobile one as well.
Yeah, they're just HTML5, so nothing's stopping them from being incorporated into the app.
Yeah, the one thing that irked me about it was that the playlists, you can't sort your playlists. So once you, like, I do this very often on the Spotify desktop app. I will go when I edit it or by the artist, or I'll change it by just by name. And you can't do that with this thing. That's one of the core functions I really like about the desktop client. The iPad's large enough that they could have had these sorting capabilities, and I don't know why they didn't include that. And to Jeff's point about this the tablet being this device where it's still, you have to pay. It's kind of like, okay, you don't have a hinge, but if you had a Windows 8 tablet or a Windows 7 tablet, you could get the desktop app and listen for free all the time. It's this weird, right, like, sort of line that's still going on right now.
I don't understand why it gives me ads for, you know, I'll be listening to, like, metal for 4 hours, and then it spits out, like, a country ad. Like, I'm going to listen to Garth Brooks after that.
They're trying to change you, Jeff. Don't let them change you.
I don't understand that. Like, who, you know, it, and then all of a sudden this, like, you know, twangy guy comes on. I'm like, what? Come on.
You know you like it.
I try. I gave it a chance. I'll try any one.
That's all you could ask.
I share that same problem. Just target the ads. Look at my playlist. Okay. If I'm listening to this playlist, give me the same stuff. Don't give me.
Oh, now you want to be targeted.
No, I always want to be targeted. All right. I love my targeted ads.
Let's move on.
I bought so many watches.
Let's move on to the Amazon, getting into the TV show business, looking for sitcoms and kids shows, is that right?
That's what they're going for right now. Original comedy and children's series. Amazon announced that its Amazon Studios are developing original comedy and children's series for Amazon Instant Video. And here's how it works. A creator uploads a proposal for a comedy or a kids program. I guess a kids program could be a comedy too. Best stuff will be distributed via Amazon Instant Video. Each month, Amazon Studios will option one project and add it to a development slate. If Amazon options it, they're paying you $10,000 for that. Then it'll be tested for viability. If it's good to go, the creator gets $55,000, up to 5% of Amazon's net receipts from toy and t-shirt licensing, along with other bonuses and royalties.
You get merchandising. That's kind of cool.
Yeah. I mean, that seems to really go hand-in-hand with the kids programming kind of concept. Amazon's got the full details up over there. Now, heading this development is Joe Lewis and Tara Sorensen. Now, if you know the name Joe Lewis, he's the guy whose LinkedIn profile kind of leaked this like a month ago. His title read VP of Original TV at Amazon, and then he quickly changed it when people asked, hey, you don't have one of those, do you? So he and Lewis was he was with Comedy Central and 20th Century Fox. Sorensen was with National Geographic Kids. And if you're wondering about quality of content, what kind of television are you going to get here? Amazon Studios head Roy Price told All Things D, the shows he makes should look and feel like real TV shows with budgets to match. So,
what does that mean?
I think it means we're taking this seriously, and you should think of Amazon as a place for new original content that's just as awesome as HBO or anywhere else that impresses you.
I mean, it's not a bunch of people on Skype just chatting.
I think, that's
not a Google Plus Hangout. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah.
I think what they got going for them is something that YouTube wishes they were able to capture. It's that sort of like production value reliability, you know, like the association with, you know, like you said, not watching just a floating head, like terrible, you know, production value on YouTube. Amazon can sort of, you know, they have this maybe more respectable brand when it comes to content. It's definitely artificial, but I feel like they sort of exude that, and they'll be able to get away with this. This is something I feel like YouTube tried to do a while ago too, right?
YouTube's still doing it. Netflix is doing it. Hulu's doing it. They're all trying to fund high dollar, top name producers. In fact, there was in one of these stories today, it mentioned YouTube signing on a pretty big name film director to one of their channels. Netflix does Lilyhammer, and they're going to do Arrested Development. And there's talk that they might even bring back Jericho. Hulu has got several of their titles that are original to them as well. So everybody wants to become the place that has the first big hit that's only on the internet, but that's like real TV. You know, it's like just like the kind you would see on broadcast TV at prime time.
I had to rack my brain to think what devices could you watch Amazon Instant Video on your television. But Amazon's got a huge list. I didn't realize they were installed in so many televisions already. I know Netflix is like on everything, but Amazon Video has really been slowly getting there. The biggest, latest development is they're on the PS3.
Really, Amazon's been on a lot of these for a long time. Mm-hmm. They're not on Apple. That's why people don't think about them. Netflix is on all the iOS devices. Amazon has nothing on the iOS devices.
But Netflix is also on all the game consoles. That's the other thing. And there's a lot of Blu-ray players that have
Amazon,
both Netflix and Amazon.
Amazon is on Xbox, right?
They're not on Xbox unless you do a workaround. A PS3, you can get it directly.
Are they on Roku?
They're on Roku,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. We use it on Roku.
I have two TVs in my house. Both have instant Amazon integration.
Yeah. All right, let's take a quick break. Thank our sponsor, GoToMeeting by Citrix. If you've been listening to the show, you know how important it is to get people all on the same page when you're having a meeting. Be able to look them in the eyes. But if they're thousands of miles away, spread out across different continents, that can be tough and expensive and a hassle, and you don't need to do it. That's why we recommend GoToMeeting with HD Faces. It lets you meet face-to-face from anywhere in the world, even on the go. If you're like, yeah, okay, fine, I'm going to be at the airport, use some Wi-Fi, take an iPad. The GoToMeeting app for the iPad works great. Just takes a webcam and a click, or a tap if you're on your iPad, and you're collaborating in a group with HD video. You can see your attendees eye to eye. They can read your nonverbal cues. You can actually see what people are talking about, and you're instantly connected with collaboration tools so that you can show those charts. You can even change them on the fly. We use it for our meetings here at Twit. Can't tell you how great it is. HD video is so clear. It's so pure. Start hosting your own face-to-face online meetings today with GoToMeeting. Our audience can try it for free. You don't have to take our word for it. Go try it for 30 days for free. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and use the promo code TNT. That's GoToMeeting, GoToMeeting.com. And we thank Citrix and GoToMeeting for their support of Tech News Today. Onward into the frustration of Facebook.
Yes.
There's advertisers want to give money.
That's right. If you're a frustrated, just a regular old Facebook consumer, you're in good company. Obviously, the Facebook IPO is expected for May 18th. Mark Zuckerberg and company are also expected to start pitching the company to big investors in an IPO roadshow starting Monday. And that's pretty much the time where they say, hey, people with a lot of money who can help help us raise what we want our valuation to be, give us money and watch the company flourish, and you start doubling and tripling and quadrupling your money and so on and so forth. The problem is that it's a very bad time for vocal advertising agencies to be saying, you know, Facebook is really hard to work with and we can't seem to get them on the phone. Mike Parker, who's the co-president of U.S. operations of Tribal DDB advertising business, says, quote, for the longest time, we've been trying to call Facebook to do business with them, and there's nobody to pick up the call. They're very focused on the consumer experience and less focused on revenue and working with advertisers. Now, as a consumer, you might say, sounds great. Facebook cares about the people.
Right.
They're focused on our experience. And if they're making enough money, what do they really need to take extra advertiser calls for?
It's about time a company focused on the consumer. Of course, it's kind of hard to tell with Facebook.
Well, sure. And the thing is this is an interesting situation because Facebook is doing very well in advertising. It's not as if Facebook hasn't figured it out yet, so they don't know how to take the call of people who have $1 million who want to give it over to them. In their last quarter, Facebook made over $1 billion in revenue, vast majority from advertising, $872 million, in fact. Although that was down 7.5 from the previous 3 months, Facebook says those are seasonal trends. And then if you get more users, then you get less ad revenue per user type of a thing. But in all senses, Facebook is really solid on the ad rev. So it's not as if they're not doing well. I think the issue is, do they have the potential to keep growing when they might have growing pains in the advertising realm?
You know, it's one of those things where as a consumer and with the prevailing wisdom constantly being in the business writing, you need to value the consumer, you need to prioritize the consumer, mm-hmm. until it comes down to brass tacks like this and all of a sudden it's in, you're valuing the consumer too much. You need to value your real client, which is the advertiser, where the money is. And this is where the truth happens. This is where the rubber meets the road. If Facebook can weather this and say, no, we are going to single-mindedly value the consumer, and yes, we want to improve our ability to respond to advertisers, but not at the expense of the front-facing engineering that we do.
Then they're blazing a trail. Sure, but can they justify that $100 billion valuation that they're going for, which is about 33 times
if they can keep
their
advertising revenue? If they can keep the advertising up. I mean, just because a few advertisers are complaining that they can't get someone on the phone with Facebook doesn't mean their advertising is going to plummet.
Totally.
It doesn't look like it is, right? You know what this is? This is when keeping it real goes wrong. That's the problem. Right? I mean, because the headlines make you lead you to believe that, you know, this is a, you know, maybe when all is said and done, you know, they're a little shaky when it comes to proving their worth. And, you know, I mean, I don't know, where do you think this is coming from? It's only coming from a few potential advertisers, right? The vast majority of people who try to advertise with Facebook, are they having a negative experience overall? I don't think this says that.
I think a lot of this it's an unproven advertising model. Facebook is doing things a little bit differently than, let's say, big advertising revenue giants like Google, Yahoo would be in there too. Sponsored Stories, for example, a sponsor, if IAS goes ahead and likes it, to be rebroadcasting in my news feed. So I potentially have eyeballs on that sponsor now. Also, advertisers pay rates on impressions and views, but the advertisers can at least decide to target a very specific segment of Facebook users. And those are usually really, really accurate. I mean, are you a female? Okay, well, then IAS and Tom are not going to see this ad that I'm going to see for dresses.
I think that's a little of the arrogance of Facebook, is they're like, look, you don't need to get us on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
Our tools work. You can target exactly who you want to go after. Why do you need us on the phone? Quit being babies. Get to the future and go in and make your own ads and put them up and find out what Ford did, that they're more effective than the Super Bowl.
And I think a lot of people working in the world of advertising are super offended by that.
Yeah.
Mentality, because it's like, well, no, let's collaborate. Let's make a really cool, we're going to do a campaign. It's going to be a joint thing, and we're going to give you a lot of money, but we want to have a lot more say in how it looks.
We want to feel good about it.
And Facebook goes,
we want to feel good about you. We don't want this impersonal web form.
Yeah.
I think that's really what's going on, yeah.
I mean, the other thing is Facebook can say, look, if you don't want to reach 910 million active users,
that's fine.
You don't have to be here. Somebody else will go ahead and fill your spot. On top of that, they're also raising theoretically $10 billion in their IPO. Maybe part of that is for the advertiser. Be like, look, you know what? That's your new division over there. You can take phone calls all you want, but we're going to give better rates to these people who are going to deal with us the way we want.
Yeah. All right. Dropbox working with Apple to resolve an app rejection issue. Many apps integrate Dropbox on iOS as a storage method. So when you're in the app and it says, hey, would you like to save this to Dropbox? You say yes. It takes you to Dropbox. And it had been allowing users to create accounts. Makes sense. If you don't have a Dropbox account, it's not going to be very helpful to store something in a thing you don't have an account for. However, Apple started kicking those apps out of the App Store, saying, well, the SDK now allows you to sign up for a paid account. Even though a Dropbox account is free, there's another click there because it's taking you to the desktop version of the website that'll allow you to pay for a better account. And that doesn't go through our in-app payments. Doesn't go through our subscription method, and that's against the rules. So we're kicking all of these apps out. Dropbox initially just tried removing a link to the desktop version of the website. That didn't work. So Dropbox posted a version of its SDK that removed the ability to create a new account. That's not very good. That means you're in the app. It says, would you like to save to Dropbox? You say yes. It says sign in. You're like, I can't sign in. I don't have a Dropbox account. And it says, well, we can't do anything. Apple won't let us. So Dropbox issued a statement to several websites saying Apple is rejecting apps that use the Dropbox SDK because we allow users to create accounts. We're working with Apple to come up with a solution that still provides an elegant user experience.
Why all the friction?
They want the 30%.
Do they offer some sort of cloud-based storage service that maybe they want people to...
Wait a minute. Did they try to buy Dropbox at one point and Dropbox kind of told them to go away and then they started iCloud?
Somebody's butthurt over this.
It's possible.
I just think Apple's been really inconsistent with the App Store policies anyway. So you want to do conspiracy theories, knock yourself out. But it just seems like that somebody at the App Store was like, wait a second, if we don't follow through, we're going to get in trouble for this. We should get some money because we said this to Amazon. We basically kicked them out. Financial Times said, look, we're leaving your App Store entirely because of this. I mean, it sounds like sour grapes. It'd be really nice if, great story. I'm sure it'll be in Business Insider tomorrow.
Right.
Tim Cook says, death to Dropbox, but it's probably just a guy reading a sheet and going, oh no, I have to remove this.
We used to call him Bob. There's that one guy in the app approval department who's really strict about the rules. It's like, no, that's an in-app payment. That has to go through our, so we can't have those apps. You got to kick those apps out right now.
That's how Bob talks.
Seems like they could rearrange a few things and everyone can play nice again.
Yeah, it'll probably be fine. Yeah.
Hopefully they will be able to figure this out.
Dropbox did say they were talking to Apple about resolving this.
Microsoft is dropping the Windows Live branding. Just when you were getting used to the Windows Live branding in Windows 8, Microsoft is doing away with the Windows Live brand, and they're going to rename everything. Steve Sinofsky posted a very lengthy description of all of this, if you're really interested. Mary Jo Foley has a much briefer version of it up on CNET and ZDNet. There's a nice chart going around that is from Microsoft that shows what's happening. For instance, Windows Live Mail and Outlook Express are now just going to be called the Mail app on Windows 8 and Hotmail on the web. You get to call it Hotmail again. A lot of the other stuff just loses the Windows Live thing. So Windows Calendar just becomes Calendar. Windows Contacts becomes Contacts. MSN Messenger, just going to be messaging app. Windows Movie Maker, Windows Live Movie Maker, now Movie Maker.
All really good ideas, in my opinion.
Yeah?
Windows Live was always a little confusing to me. I mean, I just feel like the branding is strange. Like, what's live? I think of live as happening now. I'm going to have to sign into some sort of experience that Microsoft is giving me. Just simplify everything. Movie Maker. Camera roll.
The only thing that could freak out people Mail. Is that Live Mesh is going away for SkyDrive. SkyDrive doesn't offer the same kind of cool things you can do with Live Mesh. Apart from that, the branding is different. But that, I mean, that's the only big difference. The mail changing to mail is not live mail to mail. Not big a deal.
SkyDrive does some of the things.
But live mail is like, what's happening? Real time mail. Nah, I just want regular email.
But it's the functionality that's lost in SkyDrive that needs to come up to par with Live Mesh because there were so many more advanced features you could do with that you can't with SkyDrive. Everything else is just
it's really
branding.
Bothers it.
Branding.
Windows Live ID is now going to be called Microsoft Account. So if you're looking for
they keep changing.
I know.
I don't know how to change my Xbox Live email address.
Is it Xbox Live anymore?
Or is it just Xbox?
It's actually a Windows Live account, which is now going to be your Microsoft account, even on Xbox Live.
See? Easy. I don't understand every time I sign in, and I'm sure everyone's used the Xbox website to maybe manage some stuff with their account, I can't figure out how I can disconnect my Live account and my Xbox, I want them detached, but I don't think I can do that. And this sounds like I will still not be able to do that.
I miss Bob.
Bob needs to get the crap out. It's ridiculous.
Also, if I read this right, the web versions of everything will still be at live.com. Just to add a little extra confusion.
Well, that's silly.
Photos.live.com, people.live.com.
But don't call it Photos Live.
But it's not. It's just calendar. You can call me Ray.
Okay. You know, the more I think about this, the more I'm like, too many cooks, Microsoft.
We'll all forget this in a week.
Yeah, they'll change it. Don't worry.
Yeah.
On to the news views. Oh, I love this one. Minecraft news views. Target. The retailer has announced that it will no longer carry Amazon Kindle and Kindle-branded products beginning in the spring. However, the store will still carry e-readers, and specifically mentioned, it will offer the Nook, the new Nook that's partnered with Microsoft Target. Some speculate that the shift includes Microsoft or Apple cajoling Target into the move. Microsoft invested in the Nook, and rumors swirl of Apple mini stores opening up in Target soon.
So you're saying Microsoft is buying Target?
I'm saying Microsoft's buying Apple.
Oh.
No, I'm not.
Doesn't have money for that.
See that one coming. The Cyber Intelligence Sharing and Protection Act, a.k.a. CISPA, has made a new enemy, and that is Mozilla. The company issued a statement to Forbes saying that CISPA has a broad and alarming reach that goes far beyond internet security. The bill infringes on our privacy. Mozilla said it hopes the Senate takes a close look before moving the bill along.
Software developer Zarman says that it's ported Android 4.0 to C#. While the port is incomplete, it doesn't use Java at all. Zarman is working on direct graphics access and continues to port Java code to C#. Mm-hmm. You hear that, Google? Maybe you want to buy this company. I don't know. Maybe this lawsuit would go away.
If I were Zarman, I'd be like shopping myself.
That's
right
what
now.
They're doing right now.
Senior VP for iOS software Scott Forstall of Apple just sold 95% of his Apple shares. That's about 64,000 shares to the tune of $38.7 million. So maybe he could buy Zarman. Now, before you think this means that Forstall is going to leave Apple, that's not the case. He continues to hold nearly 3,000 shares and will receive 250,000 shares of Apple stock as a retention bonus over the next few years. So he's just, I don't know, maybe he thinks the stock's going to dive, but maybe it's probably just an accounting move.
Yeah, I mean, he's a pretty important figure at Apple, and I just don't think that patent wars... First up, Nokia has decided to file against HTC and the ITC for patent infringement and has also sued RIM, ViewSonic, and HTC in Germany over revolving around 45 patents. Next up on the patent battleground is Motorola. which won an injunction granted by a German court against Microsoft. That injunction would affect the Xbox 360 and Windows 7 injunction. It's a toughie. However, Motorola would have to put up a 6 million euro bond to enforce the injunction. So don't expect this to happen anytime soon.
Injunction. 60 million.
Injunction.
What's your function?
Sorry. Google has won a government contract with the U.S. Department of the Interior to provide email services. For years, this was the domain of Microsoft. And Google even filed a suit against the Interior Department saying its guidelines were, quote, unduly restrictive of competition. So remember, sue, and then they'll hire you.
It's from Field of Dreams. According to data from Net Market Share, both Internet Explorer and Google Chrome gained market share at the expense of Safari and Firefox during April. More troublesome for Firefox fans is that roughly a third of Firefox users are using old versions of the browser, which brings security flaws. About 16% are on version 4 through 9, and Mozilla introduced Firefox 12 just recently. So if you're on Firefox, make sure you're using the most recent version.
An update from the Oracle Google lawsuit of amazingness. Trademark. The Google, the jury, currently deliberating over copyright issues, presented questions to the court for clarification related to Android revenue and fair use. CNET's Rachel King thinks the questions may suggest that the jury thinks that Google did violate Oracle copyrights. After hearing attorneys from Oracle and Google, Judge Alsup briefly answered the jury and then sent them back in to deliberate some more. You're not done yet, kids.
Essentially, their question was... So if Android's free, we can still claim commercial damages, right? And the judge is like, that's really hard for me to answer legally, but yeah. Uh-huh. And so that implies that they're like, so if we're going to ding them, we can ding them for the free stuff, right. Which means it implies that they're going to ding
them. Still, the judge decides whether if the programming language can be copyrighted at all. So it could be for nothing. We'll see. Yet another cloud service got an update. Today, Amazon introduced its Cloud Drive app for Windows and Mac, which makes it easier to upload your files to Cloud Drive. You'll get 5 gigabytes for free. You could already do that. Oh, yeah, there's some issues with this app. It doesn't do automatic syncing. You'll need to upload updated files to your Cloud Drive to keep them updated. And downloads still require you to visit the Cloud Drive site. So I think it's like an uploader.
Somebody can write a front end for it. Actually, just use
it. It should be Amazon.
Yeah. Let's move on to the randomizer. Jeff, did you get a chance to see this crazy video of Steve Jobs dressed up as FDK?
FDR.
No, FDR. I just saw him FDK. Dressed up as really as FDK. What is that? As
Franklin Delano Kitt.
Yeah, Franklin right. Delano Kennedy. Willy
Wonka. Not the SDK.
Did you see that photo?
The Willy Wonka thing that was kicking around last week was pretty awesome.
Really
he
likes
to play dress up, apparently. And in this 1984 Apple sales video, they parodied World War II as a kind of like their fight against IBM, and he was playing the president, telling him to keep fighting. It's this long 8-minute and 45-second video that Network World has found and posted.
Very like Dr. Strangelovey.
Yeah, that's former Apple employee Craig Elliott, who's now CEO of Pertino Networks, had a copy of this video. There's lots of in-jokes in here. There's lots of cameos from important people at Apple at the time. They spent something like $50,000, which in 1984 money is quite a bit. Mm. And then there's one great scene where they're saying, we will remember what went before us. World War I, World War II, 2E, 2C.
The glorious victories of the past. World War I, World War II, 2+, 2E, and 2C.
What about 3?
We don't talk about 3.
They take a stab at the Apple III in their own sales video. They refer to General Gates in there, bringing the software that's going to make the Mac work.
I feel like this is, you think of Apple these days as it's this extremely powerful, secretive company. I don't imagine the executive sitting around laughing a lot and cracking jokes and wasting time on things like this for company morale. It's like, you're lucky to work here. And if you ever, say it like a single drop of secret, you're out forever. You're blackballed.
You don't see Tim Cook saying, I'm going to dress up as President Clinton and make a funny video.
No, you don't. No. You don't see that.
That's Johnny Ives' thing.
So it's kind of nice.
That really
to,
is more Johnny Ive. You're right.
Yeah, you know, the apple of yesteryear.
All right, let's check what's on the calendar, shall we?
Let's do it. Samsung is going to unveil that next Galaxy device tomorrow. Hype is at, well, it's almost at Apple levels, actually, at this point. Blurry pictures, how big is it going to be? Credible leaks point to a dual-core CPU, at least in the Verizon version. The president and co-founder of ARM, Tudor Brown, has announced that he is stepping down. He's going to retire from the company at the annual shareholders meeting, which is tomorrow, May 3rd. His history, it goes back a long way from the Cambridge, UK-based chip manufacturer, Acorn Computer Company. He joined the board of ARM in 2001 and became president in 2008. Tomorrow, also, LinkedIn is announcing their earnings report, and Business Insider's Startup 2012 conference is taking place tomorrow in New York City.
New York
Jeff
City.
Country.
You going to go, Jeff?
Oh, yeah, I got my ticket. I'm there. No. No. I'm joking, man. Come on. Time is money.
All right, let's check what's incoming.
Incoming message.
This one comes from Ash. It's an email to TNT at twit.tv. It says, I'm the head of mobile here at Echo and was lucky enough to see Ubuntu in Android at Mobile World Congress this year. And of the whole show, it was easily one of the most impressive demos on display. The use case given was that you'd put your phone into an HDMI dock connected to your monitor, keyboard, mouse, and the phone would switch into Ubuntu mode, and you'd have a full PC. That approach eliminates the battery issues, because it's plugged in and charging, and the idea is that hotels, offices, etc. would have these docks installed so that people could just turn up and use them. The hotel thing I would totally love if they had proper bandwidth, which hotels never do. But if you could just sit down and, like, pop your phone in, and all of a sudden you've got a desktop environment with a mouse and everything provided, that'd be awesome.
And then these Android phones pretty much all use micro USB. So it's not like it would be some kind of weird proprietary thing that they have to license. To get micro USB chargers in a hotel room, that'd be, you know, it's pretty easy.
Well, they'd have a dock, so you wouldn't even need the micro USB.
Let's assume
the dock would charge it through some kind of, through the HDMI port, maybe a USB, maybe a micro USB jack, whatever. Does it sound cool to you, Jeff?
Yeah, so what's stopping this? I feel like every year at CES, I go to a hotel that has that's like connected out of control. They have like DVI ports, but we can't do something like this. What's the holdup? Why can't this happen?
The carriers need to adopt it. That's all. The manufacturers. Mm. We need the HTCs and the Motorolas of the world to just do it, to implement it. It's there.
Luck.
It's ready. Yeah.
Next email from Steve in New Hampshire. I was listening to TNT May 1st, 2012, yesterday's show, when you were talking about Twitter, and you mentioned wanting to mute people that you follow. Why don't you unfollow them? Or are you just courtesy following people but don't actually want to read what they say? What I want from the official Twitter clients is syncing across all devices. When I check them on my phone, I don't want to have to start over. When I go to my desktop or my iPad, I want to pick up from where I left off on my iPhone. Totally agree with Steve on that.
Yeah, me too.
Which is actually why I decided to use Tweetbot on my phone and my iPad, because it will remember where you are. But again, it is a third-party client. And it does allow muting, which the official Twitter app doesn't. Sometimes, I do agree that if there's somebody who's never given you anything of value on Twitter, you should unfollow them. And I don't believe in courtesy follows at all. But sometimes, if Ayaz goes on vacation, is like, you know what? I am going to study cacti in the Sedona Desert, I'm going to talk about it on Twitter for 2 weeks.
That's a great idea. I'm going to post pictures every time.
Too. I might mute you.
I'll put a hashtag.
It's like, you know, you can show me your Flickr thing when you get back, whatever. But I don't want whatever you're throwing out in my feed for this temporary period of time. That's when muting comes really in handy for me.
So you want a snooze button. That's what I'm
even better than a mute. It's like, hey, you know, Sarah's at a conference in Idaho. I'm sure it's really interesting to people who are into that sort of thing.
You know what? I tweeted once.
I know you didn't. But
but I could have been.
It's
really
always people at conferences, actually. Rafe Needleman's a good example of this. He'll go to a startup conference, and God love him, I'd love to hear what Rafe has to say, and I will read his articles afterwards, but I don't really need to see the Twitter
feed.
And some people do. I'm not saying he shouldn't do the posts, because some people are all into that. I just want to snooze. That's exactly what I want. Mm-hmm. And be snooze like, button. You know, bring Rafe back automatically in like, you know, a day. And then I'm good.
And then there's sort of the political
and
part
now Rafe
of like,
hate me.
This person is annoying, but I don't want to unfollow them because then they'll know and I'm going to have to see them.
They try to DM you, the people and they can't, that you, and they're like, why can't I DM you
and
anymore?
And then you get the passive-aggressive, for some reason you're not following me anymore. That's weird.
Actually, the DM thing is one where there are people where I would like to follow them so I can DM with them. I don't really want to see their posts.
Hmm.
You're asking
more from something that's supposed to be inherently simple. It's getting too complicated, man.
When did you become Steve Jobs?
I'm just saying.
Remove all the buttons. Twitter,
it's supposed to be so simple. I agree.
It's a really good point.
I was just going to say, I agree with the whole, like, the continuity across all platforms. I want to sort of catch up where I left off. But I don't know. It's like this Frankensteinian sort of, you know, ambition with this service. But the snooze button I'm for. So if Biz Stone, we'll talk about this if you want. Sir.
Twitter's all about simplicity at the 140 characters. I get that. So yeah. Snooze button. Me and Jeff, we're behind it. I think Sarah and Ayaz are too.
I'm for it.
Chad, you in? Audience?
I think I'm in because you get very, very upset, Tom, when I stop following you on Twitter. And I need to mute you. And I can't deal with it, Tom. But
I only track you, too. I don't really care if anyone else unfollows. I just want
to. I see you at your desk every day looking at your following list.
I can't
DM
you, Chad. What happened?
Seriously.
And I also find that I'm unfollowing people, and I'm not doing that. Have you guys... I know it's like a bug going around or something.
Oh, you want that? To unfollow them and then they stick around?
No. I've been following people. Like, even you, Tom. I was following you, and then when I was just, like, linking to you before, it's like, oh, would you like to follow Tom? I was like...
I thought I did.
That was 3 years ago, sir.
That's weird.
That is a known Twitter bug. I think it's just called, like, the convenience bug.
That's a good feature. It's
like, it happens all the time. Mm-hmm. It's a known issue.
If you don't notice, then I guess you didn't need to follow him.
I don't know.
That's weird. Well, that is the end of everything. Actually, just the show. Thanks for watching, and thanks for submitting on our subreddit, technewstoday.reddit.com. That is the place to go to let us know what stuff you'd like to hear us talk about each and every day. Either submit stories or vote them up or down. You can also go follow Jeff Bacalar and download the 404 and get good tech information every morning. Where can they get that, Jeff?
Sure, if that's how you want to describe it, information, that speaks very highly of our program.
They'll figure it out when they get there.
It's the 404.cnet.com, or we're on iTunes as well. Just search the 404.
It's a fun show. You guys do a great job.
Thank you.
Go subscribe.
As soon as we get the technology to actually have someone in on Skype, we're trying to develop that. We'll definitely have you guys on because I would really enjoy that.
Awesome. It is tough.
Yeah.
It's hard. You'd be surprised. You should see this MacGyver situation I have going on now just so I could be on your guys' show. So.
Yeah, I know how it goes for sure, man.
Yeah, it's you're looking at the chief technician right here.
Thanks for persevering. We appreciate it.
Yeah, you got it. Yes, sir.
And thank you folks for watching. You can find us on the web, twit.tv/TNT. You can email us. Our email address is tnt@twit.tv, or give us a call. Our phone number is 260-TNT-SHOW. Leave us a voicemail. That's it for this show. We will be back tomorrow with Lindsay Turrentine, Jeff Bacalar's old boss. See you then. Oh.